90.
And we are back. Tom Bevin with you, co-founder and president of Real Clear Politics. Joined on the phone now by Joel Kotkin. He's the R.C. Hobbs Presidential Fellow in Urban Futures at Chapman University and also the executive director of the Houston-based Center for Opportunity Urbanism. He is a weekly columnist for the Orange County Register. I mentioned this earlier. He wrote a column today, which we carried on Real Clear Politics, talking about the new McCarthyism in journalism and the threat to free speech. Joel, thanks for joining me. I appreciate your time tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So let me, you argue here that there's a, quote, distinct danger to free expression as the emboldened thought police steadily expand their domain. And you talk initially about the situation involving James Gunn, who was the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, who was basically fired from that multi-billion-dollar franchise for tweets that were, I guess, made a decade ago that were politically incorrect. There's now a move to get him reinstated. A bunch of everybody from the movie like signed a petition saying, you know, we'll see whether that bears fruit or not, but leads to the broader point that you've got all these situations where people are, you know, anything that you've said from, you know, years ago can now be dredged up to disqualify you, discredit you for things that you're doing now. Tell our listeners a little bit more about why this is such a serious threat.
Well, one of the big problems, of course, is that if you're afraid of taking a stance that may be unpopular, then, you know, now you could possibly lose your job, you know, like, you know, if you're working for Google and you have a view of affirmative action that it doesn't follow the party line, you can lose your job. Well, that's going to have a huge impact on what people say, what they don't say. And one of the worst parts of it to me, and maybe just partially because of my own age, is that people say stupid things when they're, you know, when they're 20 years old, 15 years old, 25 years old. And we should be able to say, okay, you know, that was kind of a foolish indiscretion. They shouldn't be banned from public life because of something that they said that was, you know, less than gracious and maybe a little bit, let's say, insensitive, when they were 25, 30 years old, and then, you know, somebody's appointed to a judgeship and they're 55, and they said something really bad, you know, back in, 20 years ago or 25 years ago. And, you know, we didn't do that. As I point out in the piece, you know, we've had Supreme Court justices who were former Klansmen and who admitted that they had changed their views, obviously, or U.S. senators who were Klansmen. We've had conservatives who were Trotskyites, you know, in their youth. I mean, we have to allow for people to evolve over time. And you know, this is very much the kind of thinking that you got in Stalinist Russia and obviously, if you want to go back further, in the Middle Ages, where something that you said that was somehow not acceptable can haunt you for your entire life.
So it's interesting. The first thing I thought about, Joel, when I read your column is that I agreed with it. It does feel like, and particularly with James Gunn, for example, you mentioned the other actor who said something nice about Ben Shapiro and was immediately sort of mau-mau'd into offering an apology for saying that conservatives, you know, are nice people or have thoughts that should be considered. But my second thought was the situation that's going on with this editorial board member that was just hired by the New York Times, Sarah Jung, and, you know, who was uncovered to have, you know, basically hundreds of blatantly racist tweets toward white people that have gone on. So and over a 2 or 3 year period from 2013, 2014, 2015, et cetera, et cetera. Now, she says she was just, you know, and the New York Times came out with this sort of ridiculous explanation that, well, she was just, you know, imitating her harassers online and et cetera, et cetera. But I guess my question for you, Joel, is where do you draw the line? I mean, how old, who does the drawing of the line? Is 2 years old? Is that enough time? Is that the statute of limitations on stuff like this? Or how do we discern what is considered politically incorrect, unacceptable, and something that's, you know, should she still be hired by the New York Times, or should she be not be hired because of what she has said online previously?
Well, I'll leave it this way. That's a judgment, an editorial judgment. It would seem to me that somebody who took conservative positions on these issues, who said, women were bad, or African Americans were bad, or Asian Americans were bad, you wouldn't even think of hiring a person like that. And yet, she made comments that were incredibly, hostile and racist. Now, I don't think necessarily, if she had done that 20 years ago or 15 when she was going through some sort of personal discovery, I would be a little more lenient. But this is stuff that's, in many cases, 2 years old, less than 2 years old. And it's for an editorial position at a newspaper which, has very, very little tolerance for views that are equally acerbic coming from the right. So, I think it's kind of inconsistent that they're supporting somebody like that. And frankly, as somebody who lives in an area that's heavily Asian myself, I don't think it's very representative of where most Asian Americans are coming from. I just think it's something that it's some sort of psychosis that seems to take place as people go to universities and actually listen to their professors, and then they're in big trouble.
you mentioned universities, and that's where a lot of this stuff is coming from. Andrew Sullivan wrote something in response to the Sarah Jung kerfuffle over the weekend, and he had a line in there which I thought really struck me. He said, "We all live on campus now. We all live on campus now." I thought that was a great way of putting it. Yeah. And I guess my question is, the same question I asked Carl Cannon earlier in the show about the war between Trump and the media is, how do we put this genie back in the bottle? Is there any way to stop the trend from where it's going, reverse it, to get back to a place where we are more accepting of free speech and political incorrectness and more tolerant of that sort of thing? Or is this just the trajectory that we're on and there's no changing it?
Well, it's certainly the trajectory we're on. The one hope would be that that schools would start to teach the values of free speech. I think, many students seem to have absolutely no knowledge of the Constitution and what it says. They have very little knowledge of the Bill of Rights. Even though they're always talking about rights, they don't know where they come from. I think a lot of it is got to be education, and a lot of it's got to be the media. I mean, I was very disappointed at the New York Times, where, I've done quite a bit of, I did a lot of writing for them at one time. I'm very disappointed that you can be anti-Trump and you can be progressive, but, you don't countenance this kind of blatantly racist viewpoint. And then start blaming people who said something infinitely milder. I mean, maybe somebody would object to something Jordan Peterson says, if they take particularly out of context, but nothing he says is remotely as frankly evil as what she said. If we're going to descend down to this, we ought to be prepared for where this leads, which is really, a real ban on free expression and an increasingly totalitarian society. I think a lot of it has to do with sort of postmodernist theory, where we no longer make a distinction between actual violence that people do and things they say that might offend someone. In the real world, actual physical reality makes a difference. In the sort of postmodernist world, which is increasingly powerful in the media and academia, it's all about intentions and about what you say as being more important than anything else. And so I really think that I wish I felt optimistic that we were going to move away from this kind of thing, but I don't think this has seen the end. My one hope is that perhaps the next generation of young people will rebel against the millennials who've pushed this stuff, and maybe they'll be better.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Joel Cockett, thanks for joining me. Joel's the R.C. Hobbs Presidential Fellow at Urban Futures at Chapman University and the Executive Director of the Houston-based Center for Opportunity Urbanism. Joel, thanks for your time tonight. Really appreciate
it. It's my pleasure.
And great column today, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And that's going to do it for me, Tom Bevin, co-founder and president of Real Clear Politics. We will see you back here next Sunday night. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about. We always do. Everybody have a great week.